I'm Margaret Boland, and I work in the acute sector in St. Vincent's University Hospital in Ellen Park. And the three of us had a discussion here, and one of the people is an OT, and she works in primary care, and they set up a memory gym in the primary care setting. And Anne works with it's a CAMCAS. It's a community. It's a community-based program. And they have just set up a walking program. And also in that area, they have a kitchen where the people who go on this, on the walking expedition can come back, and the cupboards are open so that they can actually see what's in the cupboards, and they can make their own tea or coffee. And they also have an outdoor gym set up also where... in the process of setting that up, and they will have a place where the clients can have treatments for relaxing, etc. And where I'm working at the moment, we're working with a community, Crinken in Shankill, and they've developed a booklet that says, "This is who I am." Actually, I might have the wrong name on that now, but I could stand to be corrected. So that when they come into an emergency department, they have all of the details written down, just about medication and just the little things about them, what they like to be called, etc. So we're going to proceed with that.
Thank you.
Hi, we're with County Wicklow Network for Older People, and we're making Wicklow dementia friendly. So we go to different areas throughout Wicklow, and before we go to an area, we local people engage with people with dementia, and they ask them what would make their community dementia friendly. What do they see as their needs? So in Carnew was our first area. So there they identified there's very little sports for people with dementia because it's in a very rural area. Yeah. So they said that they'd love a social club and carers. So with the Alzheimer's Society, we got volunteers to come and start a social club. So we're in Arklow this month, and there people with dementia have said they'd like someone to, say, chaperone them when they go shopping. Yeah. And they also would like the shopping centre to open the bathrooms downstairs because they were closed because of vandalism. So they have to go three floors up. It's impossible to find the loo.
Yeah.
So the signage. So there are things we're going to work on with people in Arklow, and then we'll move up.
Great. And I think there's something there about kind of raising the bar, raising the expectations about what you can ask for, and people feeling that they can ask for some quite small changes, really, aren't they? But will make a huge difference and keep people connected.
We're doing some of that involvement. It is very, very informal. By informal activities, people are making connections. What Bridget said here, Irish people are very private. I think this idea of this, you know, an advocacy group would scare... Like, we have people in our community who would happily be advocates in the town, and they're well known in the town, but their family members think they should not be advocates.
Yeah.
So... And I suppose you're into whole consensual whatever. So there's, but at the same time, even listening to you there, seeing that some of that stuff is beginning to happen. Like we're in existence a year and a half, two. We better check. About a year and a half, 2 years, and some of that is happening.
Yes.
And I suppose when you have a tough week, we would look at each other and go, "You actually see two people in our centre who have connected."
Yes.
And we're facilitators. That's all we are.
Yes.
And I think it's just lovely to hear the great stuff you were doing over
and
there.
I think there's something. There is that looking over and seeing other people doing it and starting small and starting
and
that not being the purpose necessarily, the primary purpose of what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I think what I've been astounded at is how it has snowballed. And it really has. So I think it's that inspiration people being inspired by each other and thinking things are possible and almost missing out a few stages because they don't have to start from scratch anymore. They can just pick up a model from another area, another group, and almost copy that.
Eilish Heshin from the Living Well with Dementia Project in Stirlaugh and Black Rock. I will be elaborating on some of the things that we're doing and reconnecting people. But say, for instance, Philly referred to this, you're pushing an open door. I can honestly say I've never pushed as an open a door as we have from once we became involved with the Living Well with Dementia Project.
Right.
I described it as being just nourishing and flourished, absolutely, the goodwill. But I just give one small example that, say, our shopping centre, one of our shopping centres, And this was really their own doing. You know, with minimal input at this stage, the post office moved, and the manager of the shopping centre of a Friday stands around where the old post office was to direct the people, which is mainly used by people with dementia, or older people, I mean, back to where the new spot is, where the new post office is located. So I think just talking about dementia in the community, and I think a lot of it is age-friendly, along with being dementia-friendly as well, because vision, I may have full cognitive ability, but I may have, my vision may be very impaired, and I need to know where the post office is the same as somebody with a dementia, you know. So I think the goodwill that's out there is absolutely superb, you know, from our communities. And I do, I think people maybe being private, I don't quite, I think people are much more open in Ireland than they have been. And I think people with dementia and their carers do want to talk, and I'll be elaborating a bit of that on what we've met in the year, how things has evolved with the positive word dementia being used.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anne Maron, Netwell Centre in Dundalk. We are the first loud age friendly county in Ireland, so we would have had the dementia agenda included in that from the very start for a number of years now, and we involved people with dementia in all our social groups and activities, and with volunteering and the Good Morning Loud phone calls and the Men's Sheds project. However, I suppose my three questions are, you have 37 groups and that's fantastic work. Are all of those people diagnosed by a consultant with dementia? And secondly, if they are, what's the time lapse between a GP referral for a person suspected with dementia and actually seeing a consultant? Because quite a few of the people we have accessing our groups and supports do not actually have a diagnosis by a consultant.
Okay, so yeah, mostly I would say that of the people who are kind of signed up to involvement type groups or services that are part of the network, then yes, they do have a diagnosis. And diagnosis has improved in the UK because of the National Dementia Strategy. So almost the involvement groups becomes a bit of a pathway of what happens next following diagnosis. But for all those people who are not part of involvement groups, who haven't got that access to good local support, it is still a bit of a postcode lottery. So people are still, it's taking a long, long time for some people to get a diagnosis. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So in maybe one example, I guess, is in the Scottish Dementia Working Group, where that is quite a long established group, and new members who are coming through are being diagnosed at a much earlier stage because of changes in policy within Scotland, and they've got quite a strategic approach, their five pillars of post-diagnostic support, which is really changing that whole procedure so that it's much quicker and speedy and appropriate timely diagnosis, whereas people who were long-standing members of that group prior to that strategic change, you know, were reporting 3, 4, 5 years of misdiagnosis and changed diagnosis. And so I think it's easy to think that we've got it, you know, there's 37 groups and this is great, there's you know 400 people with dementia who are having their voices heard, but they're probably still quite unusual, and it's really dependent on local service provision. So unfortunately, I think in many areas still it's quite haphazard, and some people won't get that really good pathway through the system. But there are strategic kind of guiders as to how that should be better.
Well, we would find in Dundalk by the time people have a diagnosis, there wouldn't be at a level where they could interact to influence change.
Yeah.
And I suppose the other question is the man playing golf or the people learning to use the tablets. That man did an interview, then he took him golfing and he was going to call next week. Where was that man from? Like, what service is that that provides that support?
Yeah, so he was part of our Dementia Friendly Communities work in Hampshire, and well, he was from Hampshire, so he's carried on having one-to-one support.
Is it paid support or is it voluntary support?
Paid.
It's paid support.
Yeah.
Because we are dependent on volunteers to support initiatives.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were part of a larger project which was about making Hampshire dementia friendly. So they had some drivers to wanting to make this happen for them.
Thank you very much.
I'd just love to hear more about the host families for respite, or have you any research on that or anything that we could learn? Because it is something that our project were looked at initially and kind of was put on the back burner if there's
That often gets quite a lot of interest. So Shared Lives is a model of social care in the UK that has been around for a long, long time and comes out of small care homes, and when the small care homes didn't have to register any longer with the Care Quality Commission. So it used to be called adult placement, and it's particularly a model of social care that has been used with people with adults with learning disabilities. And it's usually long term. So an adult, you know, an adult with a learning disability reaches the age of 18 or older, no longer can live with their family for whatever reason, maybe doesn't residential care or supported housing not appropriate. Host families who are managed by a local scheme, Shared Lives scheme, but then regulated, the organisation is regulated by the Care Quality Commission, will host, almost like fostering, adult fostering. And so this model is in every local authority in the UK. And some of those have delved into other areas of work over the years. So some will have started to do some work with people with mental health issues, sometimes former prisoners. And one area that is emerging has been with people with dementia. Now, usually because as people with learning disabilities have been in situ for a long time, 20, 30 years, they're getting older and developing dementia much earlier because of their learning disability. But equally, it was seen as a possibility of a model that could be used as a respite alternative for people with dementia. So we were, as part of that programme, we put some resources in to help to increase the dementia knowledge within the Shared Lives world, and to make a business case for why commissioners might want to fund this as an alternative to residential care for people with dementia. And we evaluated 5 different schemes across the UK who were running that. So again, if you look on our website, there's a final report of that with recommendations for commissioners and the start of a business case.
That was definitely a topic that I think there was a lot of interest in the audience from, and so thank you all for your contributions on that.